That was my father's idea of a joke. What he meant was that I'm interested in ghosts. I suppose you could call them antiques, but it seems to me that's really stretching things. I didn't start out to be a ghost specialist. Oh, I liked ghost stories as much as any other kid I've ever met. But it wasn't until my best friend Chris Gurley and I started running into the real thing that I began to take them seriously. Our first experience was with the woman in white, the ghost who haunted the Grand Theater. We figured one ghost could happen to anyone. But after we met Captain Jonathan Gray, the ghost of the Quackadoodle Inn, Chris and I began to wonder if we had some kind of special spirit-spotting ability. Norma was looking at me with new interest.
"Do you think you might want a job?"
"What kind of a job?"
"I need an extra hand at the shop. Nothing major. I've already got an assistant. What I'm looking for is someone who likes antiques but doesn't need work on a regular basis."
"Sounds like you might fill the bill."
"But I'm only 11, I said, ignoring the fact that we had been talking about different kinds of antiques anyway.
"That's okay," said Norma. "I'm not prejudiced."
Which is how I ended up with a part-time job at Bliss in Brass, and how I met my next ghost.
"You are so lucky," Chris said when I called to tell her about the job. "First the book, now this."
Chris had been a little jealous ever since this editor named Mona Curtis asked me to write a book about our first adventure. Mona asked me to write the book because my father showed her the pages of my journal where I talked about meeting the woman in white. I was pretty mad when he did that without asking me. But when I learned I might get to write a book because of it, I had a hard time staying angry. Actually, Chris wasn't that upset about the book. After all, she doesn't keep a journal, and she doesn't particularly want to be a writer. So she says it's okay, as long as I tell everyone how beautiful and smart she is. She's going to kill me when she reads this. Now, with something like that going on, you wouldn't think I'd need a part-time job. But I didn't have a contract yet. Mona wanted me to write several chapters first. And my dad had already informed me that if I did make anything on the book, most of it was getting put away for college. So earning a little extra money didn't seem like a bad idea. Any jealousy Chris had about the job vanished when I told her Norma's shop was less than 10 blocks from her house.
"All right," she shouted, nearly breaking my eardrum.
The reason this was so exciting is that Chris and I live on different sides of town and go to different schools, which makes it a big problem for us to get together. I was even happier about the job at Norma's when my father told me I could spend the night with Chris whenever I worked there. Of course, it had to be all right with Chris's parents. Every time the phone rang that week, I jumped for it, hoping it would be Norma asking me to work. But it wasn't until Thursday that I picked up the receiver and heard a gravelly voice ask,
"So, Nine, are you working for me Saturday or not?"
"Working!" I cried, trying to keep from shouting with delight. Saturday morning, I walked to Norma's house. She was waiting in her red pickup. A terrifying 10 minutes later, we pulled up in front of Bliss in Brass. It should have been a 15-minute ride, but Norma drives the way she does everything else, fast. I was still thinking how glad I was to be in one piece when Norma said,
"Are you getting out, or are you going to sit there all day?"
I blinked when I realized she was already out of the truck and standing next to my window. Bliss in Brass was an old red building nestled at the end of a row of houses. I think it had been a house once itself. A low stone wall ran along the edge of the lawn, which was about 3 feet higher than the sidewalk. In front of the shop stood a wooden sign, carved with the same design that was painted on the side of Norma's truck. Through the picture window to the left of the door, I could see beautiful old dressers, beds, and mirrors.